You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot lives a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's walls, Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Marco Bill. And Tom got caught up in travel again, and he's in an area where he can't call in. We tested out earlier today, and it was just too many times he just dropped off the air. So I decided I'd just take it for tonight. We do have some wonderful guests on tonight. A lot of action, a lot of activity going on in the Bigfoot arena. But there's a couple of things I'd like to do. For our family and the guests out there that are our true listeners and the people who support us and have been with us all these years, I'd just like to thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for your active participation, for your help, and for all of your goodwill and emails and other things that you've always sent to us. This past week, I've gotten a lot of emails from a lot of people. There are a few people out there that are in sick and distress, and they need some prayers and help. And as always, we'd like to recognize those people. So I've got one of the guests calling in here. If you could just hold on a second, I'll tell them how to dial in, and I'll be right back. Okay, everybody. That was our guest. Sorry, I had to drop off for a couple seconds to answer the phone. What we'd like to do is pay tribute to those folks out there that are sick and distressed. Chuck Creel's Daddy is really sick. He's in a terminal case right now, but he's going through treatment, and we'll see how that turns out. He's got lung cancer, and today, his sister went into the hospital, and his sister is
DJ.
Hello, DJ. I'm going to mute you out. We'll be right with you, okay?
Great.
So anyway, Chuck's sister is having a bad time in the hospital right now as well. And also, what I promised Chuck, he just wanted to say hi to everybody out there, and it's been a while since Chuck has been on. So I'm going to bring him on just for a couple seconds just to say hi to everybody. Chuck, are you there, my friend?
Yes, sir, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can. You're coming in loud and clear.
Everything going okay, young man?
Sure it is.
All right.
How you doing? You wanted to say hi to everybody and just tell everybody things are.
I've been going through a lot of crap, but you know.
Of course.
You know, with my daddy.
Yeah. Are you there?
I'm here, but I'm fixing to cry.
Well, don't do that, buddy. We're all with you, okay?
You know, I just want to make sure my dad's okay.
I understand that. How about your sister?
You know, that's another thing. That's another thing that hit me. And I don't know what's going on with her or anything like that, but what I'm saying is, how do you jump back? How do you jump back? How do you get back in the action? You know?
Well, you got all of our prayers and our well wishes, Chuck, for both your dad and your sister.
Well, my mom is supposed to call me back 9.
Okay, well, we're hoping that everything works out great.
You know, but
we'll be praying.
I get kind of tore up about that and everything like that, but there's a bunch of stupid people out there if they don't believe that this creature exists.
Well, Chuck, you're never going to convince everybody. But, ladies and gentlemen, you got to understand, Chuck has been with us for about 7 years, I think, now, and he's one of the researchers in Alabama that ties in with us all the time. He goes out there and does research, and with us and for himself and with us both. And he's been with us for quite a long time, and he's part of our Bigfoot family.
I'm not no. Well, let me ask you a question, there, young man. How are
you
supposed to be a PhD in Bigfootology?
Well, there's no such thing there, Chuck, because I don't think you can have all the PhDs in the world. You can have all the education in the world. But anybody that calls themselves an extreme expert at that.
I'm nowhere near that.
Nobody is. We don't have one captured yet. We don't have one that anybody can claim the fame for. So
it
looks like we're all trying, right?
I mean, just be honest with you, just talking to you straight, face to face. How in hell do you get that?
Well, you do what we're doing. You keep researching, you keep going out there and trying. And there's a lot of people out there doing that right now. Chuck, I got to get on with the show, but I just wanted to give you some couple of minutes out here to say hi to everybody. You haven't been on in a long time. You're going to be doing some investigation up there.
My sister.
Well, we're doing that, my friend, and we will do that. And
can I still sit on there and listen?
Of course you can. I'm just going to mute you out right now. We're going to get on with our first guest. Okay. Okay. You take care, Chuck. All our prayers go for you, okay?
Hi.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Creel from Alabama. Chuck is doing some research. He's got some things he's following up, and probably next week or the week after, he'll be coming back on to give us a rundown on the investigations he's involved with. Our first guest tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is the DJ from Seattle. And DJ, how are you tonight, my friend?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing great. DJ has had It's going to talk about an experience you had when you were a child, right? Well, teenager, younger.
Yeah, I was visiting my grandmother out in North Utah, and she has a place right at the base of the Wasatch Front at Mount Ben Lomond. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, we're here. You just
okay,
keep going.
So
tell us what happened.
So I was there, I was in my teens, and right behind her house, there's a park with a baseball diamond, and around the baseball diamond is, well, there's a big tree, a lot of trees and stuff, and trails that go, and, you know, you can go exploring up in there, and, well, it was a really nice day, and I thought I'd just go exploring. So what happened was I didn't get very far. And I didn't get very far into it, and this huge rock, probably about the size of my head, I didn't see it fly over my head, but it hit a tree some ways away, it hit a tree, and then went thump, thump on the ground. And I was like, really? I mean, I was by myself in this park, in this area. I thought I was by myself anyway, but the thing must have been, like, behind me along the tree line. Anyway, so I said, well, it must be nothing. I thought I'd just keep going. I took about two steps, and it went, what? That was about the pitch, too. And,
wow.
And I was like, well, what is that? So I decided to whoop back. What? And all of a sudden, I could just tell I was being watched. There was eyes on me, my hairs on my neck, and my arms stood up. And I could just feel that there was something about 30 to 50 feet behind me in the trees. And it scared me so bad that I couldn't even turn to look at it. So what I decided to do is I would just stand really still and hope the thing will go away. After about 45 seconds of standing still, I heard this crashing sound, breaking of branches. Just and then boom, boom, like two-legged thing walking away. And you could hear the footsteps really loud like an elephant.
Wow.
And that was it. I ran out of there. I didn't tell anybody about it for years and years and years. And then BFRO and their little show on Animal Planet kind of turned me on to, helped me remember what was going on. And I decided to call my grandma up and tell her about this story, what happened. And she said that there's a trout farm up there where they raise rainbow trout, and the kids can go in there and they throw pellets in there and they throw a little line in there and they pay in keeper any of the trout that they catch.
Uh-huh.
Well, apparently they'd had problems with Bigfoot up there too, because the water, the ponds that they have set up, they have footprints in the ponds where the thing jumped into the pond to get to the fish.
Uh-huh.
So wow. The Barkers that own that place at the Cold Springs Trout Farm in North Utah, that's they've had their experiences with Bigfoot also, I found out.
Wow. That's a pretty good experience. I mean, I'm sure. How old were you, about 12, 13?
I would say probably between 14 and 16 years old.
Yeah.
So that's about 20 years ago.
Yeah, and that'll take it out of you. Something like that, if it happens, yeah. Especially a rock coming, hitting a tree and bouncing on the ground, a big rock like that. Not too many things can throw a rock like that.
Oh, it had to have been big-sized rock.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, that's my story. I hope you guys liked it out there.
Oh, no, yeah, no, it's great. I would like to welcome you to the world of Bigfoot and sharing it with us. I know it's not that easy sometimes to come. The first thing that happens when people start sharing their story is a lot of the closer people to you will start to doubt you and they don't believe and they then, oh, well, you've seen something else. Oh, it was this or it was that. And that happens pretty much all the time. And so it's hard to tell anybody this thing a lot of times. A lot of people have a hard time doing that because of the ridicule you get when you do.
Yeah, and I get plenty of that.
If anybody thinks that you believe in Bigfoot, then they really think you're a strange person. And but there, believe me, in the past 7 years, I think I've interviewed somewhere of 600 people, and they've that have had encounters with this creature, and everything from face-to-face contact with seeing things with multiple tree formations, footprints, all different kinds of aspects of the creature. And there's a believe me, and lots of a lot of the calls and things that they can do. And these creatures are very, very fast. There are several. We found out that there are several different species of them. So there's different species of these creatures in different parts of the country. And,
so you think the yeren, the skunk ape, and all of them are related, but they're different in a way.
Well, some of them are completely different, dependent upon we didn't think when we first started when we first started all this stuff several years ago, doing continuous. I mean, we were on the track of the straight 6-8 foot tall, 10 foot tall, 8 foot tall creature that the big no neck. That kind of thing, right? And as we went to different expeditions from different parts of the country, we had reports of people seeing a dog-face Bigfoot, several, in fact, not just in one part of the country, in 4 or 5 different parts of the country. And these people have no knowledge of the other people that we've talked to, and from Minnesota or Wisconsin, and down in Arkansas, in West Virginia, my gosh, all over. And and the creature was a creature with a dog face, and it looked, well, people say werewolf, but it's not a werewolf. It's a creature, and it walks on 2 legs. Amazing. And we've had this reporting, 5 times now in the last 2 years. So, and then there's others down in Florida, the swamp ape or skunk ape, and the Boggy Creek incident. I mean, there's three-toed footprints we found. There's some strange other footprints that we found. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Recently here, Brenda's going to talk about it later in the show. They found it's like a hooved footprint, not a toe, but hoofed, like a horse hoof or something, and completely different than what we had, So there's things we find out all the time about these creatures, and it's amazing. Every time you seem to go out, there's something new that you can tack into this and put it in. So, put it in the digest and say, well, my gosh, we've learned something new.
Have you ever brought Jeff Meldrum, Dr. Meldrum, onto your show?
Absolutely. A couple of times. We've had him on several times.
He's a man.
Well, he's one of the few scientists, not a scientist, but a professor that is investigating. But there's a lot of other people out there that do investigations, and good ones. We have a couple on tonight, as a matter of fact. We have a couple people on tonight and that are going to talk about it. And there's people all over. I mean, we have a network of people throughout the United States and Canada that we've been in touch with for the past, Tom's been doing this for 40-some years, but we revised the team here about 7 years ago, and doing, continuous expeditions. And since then, we've just had so many different things happen, and so many different evidential type investigations. I mean, hair, skin, blood, toenails, all different kinds of things that we've had, and it's amazing. It's amazing. But I want to thank you, DJ, for coming on and sharing your experience with us. And if you want, you can listen to the rest of the show on the phone.
I think I will. I got the internet, and I'm going to have it streaming in my living room. And I'm just going to sit and listen. And I appreciate you having me on here and tell my story. It's the truth,
and
I'd be willing to take a lie detector test.
You don't have to. We believe you. That's part of part of this show, anyway.
Yep. All right. Well, you have a great day, and I'm going to let you go.
Okay. Thank you, DJ. Take care now.
Take care. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was DJ from Seattle. What we're going to do is we're going to do it for a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Mark. And here we go for a commercial.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe.
a promise of the end to an age-long mystery, and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And now we're going to go to Colorado to Mark. Mark, are you there?
Yeah.
How are you tonight?
Good. How you doing, William?
Okay, we're really happy to have you on the show. And what I'd like to try to do, if you didn't mind, just kind of give us a background of who you are and what you've been doing. You're a researcher, so you've been doing your own research here for some time. Give us a little thumbnail sketch of that, and then take us through some of the experiences that you've had.
Okay, well,
is that okay?
I've been interested in the Bigfoot phenomena for many, many years. Basically, I just started. I used to be a sheriff's deputy, and for a lot of years, I worked a lot of late hours. I used to listen to Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
George Norrie, yep.
Yeah, and then that's kind of what got me involved in the paranormal and UFO research and the rest of it. And but I mean, I've always been interested in Bigfoot since I was a Boy Scout, young boy, camping and hunting and fishing and so forth, and I knew all the lore. But the last 2 years, mainly this year, was the first year I decided to get actively out in the field and really hit it actively here in Colorado to see what I could come up with as far as finding out if I could locate an individual or clans, so to speak. And I was actually pretty surprised that I ran across a group inside a state park here in Colorado relatively quickly, which threw me for a loop because things just kind of progressed really fast after I located them and realized that I was being surrounded by something I had never experienced before.
Of course, yeah.
And so in the process of, doing all the research and so forth and connecting with people on Facebook and YouTube, over a period of a year, I came across a lot of teachers, people that have been involved in phenomena for a lot longer than me that helped me through the process. And, I started doing gifting and, attempting to make contact with them. And things have been progressing relatively fast and good up to this point. And I'm actually pleased with the progress that I've made. And, I'm not one to use the word habituator, but a lot of people like to use that word in the Bigfoot community these days. But I guess that's the category I would fall into because I have a pretty good process of gifting going on back and forth and communication as far as wood knocks and whooping and
sure.
And other things like that related. They know that I'm attempting to befriend them, and they haven't exactly been 5 feet away, but they do like to keep that 25-foot distance from me. And something that I decided to do when I got into this research was I started noticing a lot of amateur researchers on YouTube. Mainly, I guess my favorite is Jim in Ontario, Timber Giant Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked his style. I liked what he did as far as filming around him and behind him. And then he would start to see things on his camera, and he would go down and break the film down, and he would see, either juveniles or certain type of beings surrounding him, shadowing him and stalking him while he was on film, though he actually never saw them, you know, eye to eye.
Right.
But they were showing up. So when I first got involved in this, I said, well, you know, I can do that. That's something that I can do here in Colorado. That's, you know, I went out and got me a fairly decent high-definition camera and video camera, and I did the research as far as, you know, sightings, where the most sightings were in my area, and I found an area that had quite a few sightings going all the way back to 1977, and so I decided to start researching in that area in the state park, and lo and behold, you know, day one, the first day I was out there, I was getting rock clacks and hearing tree breaks, and it just progressed and progressed up until the point where, you know, where I'm at right now, where, you know, every time I go out, I'm filming around me and behind me and so forth. And
have you had any encounters close enough to be able to determine features?
I had. There was only one time that they broke that 25-yard distance, and that was in April. I had a, I believe it to be a male. I'm not exactly sure how many of them are in there. I mean, I've seen the juveniles, you know, with the females. I've seen them.
What's your estimate of what their size is?
Well, they vary. My first experience.
Oh, yeah, they do, yes.
Yeah, my first experience was seeing little babies, juveniles on the ground.
Right.
You know, 3 to 4 feet.
Uh-huh.
But the first time that one actually let me see him from about 25 yards, he looked very chimp-like, but I would say he had to be 8 feet tall. But he didn't have the typical sagittal crest, the, you know, the chromed head.
Right.
Most people would assume he actually looked very chimp-like.
See, that's what I'm saying, different species. We've seen the same type as well, a chimp-looking type, and then there's another kind that's has the crown on the head. It's amazing.
Well, and you know, that's what I was amazed also too, is because on the video when I was taking a picture of him, I saw him moving off about 25 yards away, and I couldn't see details, but I could see there's something moving over there. Is that a bear? You know, what's going on over there? You know, I point the camera over there, and, you know, lo and behold, others showed up on the camera that I didn't see surrounding me, behind me. I mean, they basically surrounded me from all directions.
Sure.
And something that was kind of strange that I guess that happened is when I first started working in this park, they were very untrusting of me, I guess you could say. And,
sure.
That day that happened, I went back to my Jeep, you know, marched down the mountain, went back to my Jeep to the parking lot and left, and I didn't make it probably 2 miles out of the park. As soon as I hit the highway, my rear axle blew out on my Jeep. And, and to this day, you know, me and my mechanic believe that they didn't want me there because I had found tracks. I was pretty much pushing the issue.
Sure.
Coming from an investigator's standpoint, I guess you could say I was being too aggressive. But me and my mechanic believe that they tried to rip my rear tire off my Jeep while I was, you know, doing my thing, looking at prints. And,
sure.
And
well, I'm sure they can probably do it. I mean, we've had some evidence of throwing things like large. I mean, I'm not talking about large rocks. I'm talking large rocks.
Oh, yeah.
And logs, you know, 350 to 500 pound logs. Just throw them like a matchbook.
Yeah, and I have seen some anomalies out in the park. You know, they wedge logs between boulders and things.
Right.
Humans.
Yeah, tree formations and other things that they do. Yeah.
But so you know, anyways, it's just been a systematic process of me trying to make friendships with them. But they still, even to this day, will not, and they probably never will, let me get beyond that 25-foot distance. I have one set of stills where I was working with another female researcher in the park, and one stuck its head out of a bush, I'd say about 5 feet away from us.
Yeah.
But, and I caught him on the stills going back in the film, but we didn't see him. And this is one of the strange things about this is that, and that I've been telling people is that, yeah, I think it's tunnel vision is what it is. It's psychological response, you know, for humans that we do not see them. That's one of the reasons we don't see them.
Well, Mark, I think based on our experience and other people's experience at this, going through there, what we found is we've had lots of pictures of people that have, we've got a couple of people in New York and other areas that are in an area where there's all, I mean, they just have all kinds of pictures, but you can't get a full body picture. There's arms, legs, you know, half a body, stuff like that sticking out behind trees and things like that, right?
Right.
And I'm telling you, it's really amazing. These things can really camouflage themselves very well with the surrounding. And we had a couple of photographs in Arizona a couple of years ago from a lady that used to go out and photograph, and she wasn't looking for creatures. She was out photographing desert-type stuff. You know what I'm talking about? She's a photographer for a magazine.
Sure.
And a couple of the pictures she sent, she was trying to get me to look at a picture of a she thought was a creature camouflaged in the rocks. And I looked, and I found a picture of a creature that was about 10 feet to the left of where she was looking. And when we have some, you know, people that really do a lot of photographic, you know, skills, and they bleed it out so that it stands out, right? So if you have a color that's different in Photoshop or any of those others, you can, you know, colorize it so that the outline of the color that's off, it's never going to be exact, right? But exactly. For our eyes, when we look at it, it looks just like the rock. But when you colorize it, it was the form of a female with a baby sitting on her shoulders. It was amazing. I couldn't believe it. And that
is one of those anomalies. I mean, you know, I take a lot of heat. There's a lot of heat that you take in this business.
I decided
to get into it because of the blob squatch theory.
Sure.
One of the ways that I've tried to separate myself from that is that, you know, I do a lot of stuff shows up on my camera,
mm-hmm.
On my videos, and I only try and focus on what is the most definable.
Sure.
You know, if I have a Sasquatch or you know what I believe to be on my video, I'm only going to focus on what I can see. And,
sure.
Yeah, I have a lot of other people in the community and friends, and I'd say, well, look, there's two more to the left or another one to the right. There's another one at the bottom or to the top. If I can't actually define it, then it's a blob squatch to me.
Sure.
I'll only focus really on what I can actually definitively say. That's not a shadow or that's not a...
Oh, I understand. But what I was trying to explain to you was, on my part of it, it wasn't a blob squatch, but what it was how well that their fur and everything else was blended to the color of the background of the rocks and the bushes. It was amazing. I could not believe that it could be that good. And but when you do that, do the thing with the colors,
mm-hmm.
it stands out. I mean, it's just like completely stands out. It's not a blob squatch. It's you can see the form, you can see everything, and it was just amazing how well camouflaged they are. So I can believe that these creatures are very well adapted into it. And I think it's their curiosity that brings them to us. I mean, they're very curious, as you know, and as big as they are, and as powerful as they seem to be, I mean, it would take very little for them to harm us. I mean, we're really not a threat to them.
Well, and, you know, that whole camouflage thing, you know, in my personal belief is just that, you know, they're another form of people. I don't consider them just apes or animals.
No.
You know, I think that they evolved.
We agree with you.
Great.
Well, we're trying to work on DNA. I'm going to tell you right now, we're working on DNA, and part of some of our DNA would say that it's an ancient human, and but we can't prove that until we go through the full process of DNA, mitochondrial DNA. We've had several shows on it already,
but we
need more samples to do that.
Well, I've been following that too also, but one of the big things is I don't know if that's the DNA is going to be able to prove a lot of the abilities that they have. Now, as far as, like, the camouflage thing goes, I have pictures of them where they are sitting in a bush, and the facial colors that I get in a lot of the Sasquatches that I have captured on film, they're usually black with gray skin tones.
Right.
But I have seen where the gray, if they're sitting in a green bush, a light greenish, palish green color comes over the facial colors, which is an interesting thing because that is why they look like a shadow. You know,
sure.
So you break down the pixel sitting in a bush.
Well, yeah, but Mark, when I say camouflage, I'm not talking about they can change colors like a chameleon. What I'm talking about is in the areas that they thrive in, like in Arizona, the desert areas and stuff like that, the rocks and everything are certain colors, right?
Right.
And their fur is not the dark brown or black like we're used to seeing in the wooded areas or other areas. It is a brownish, lightish brownish, yellowish brownish, or reddish brownish kind of a hue, very similar to the rocks. And it was amazing how well it blended in with the rocks and the bushes when you put them behind. And that's the kind of thing. I don't mean that they can change. It's just how well they were, coordinated in their environment. And you're right. I mean, we see the same thing in the bushes, the facial features and other things that stand out. I mean, most of the time it's a straightforward black or brown or reddish brown, even sometimes a white or yellowish, color hair. We've had different reports on and pictures of, but it's amazing. Yeah,
it is the most amazing part of the whole in dealing with them. Something that I started doing recently is I've been speaking to them when I go out to my area in Choctaw,
mm-hmm.
calling them to see if they're there, and they have been responding, which kind of.
That's good.
I actually like it. I just have recently started doing this, and when I'm speaking to them in a native language, they start knocking back.
But all of our Native American cultures have this creature in it. I don't think there's any that don't. Anyway, so far that I've been able to determine, and. And depending upon the tribe, there are different aspects of the creature, either like a good omen or a bad omen, or a good spirit or a bad spirit, or whatever. But these creatures are well known in the Native American cultures, and it goes way back. I mean, way back, as far as I can tell, in some of the research that I've done in looking at it, and writings that other people have made based on it. So
well,
it's amazing
back to, that,
to me.
Because that saying, there's some researchers that have brought up the point, who taught who?
Oh, yeah, I understand. Yeah, I know what you mean.
did they learn from the Indians, or did the Indians learn from them?
Yeah, I know. Well, in Alaska, for instance, I mean, they if they have, like, shotgun shells and stuff like that,
right?
If they come across a track, what they'll do is they'll lay down the shotgun shells and ground as a gift. And of passing and leave it there and or something, something is a gift. And it's amazing. I mean, it's something that's, it goes back for a long, long time. Well gosh.
Yeah, that's something else I've been dealing with some researchers here, or talking to them here in Colorado, is they have a fascination with a lot of things. Some other fellow researchers here found them playing with beer cans and other things like that that you wouldn't think would interest them.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had good luck with peanut butter sardines.
Oh, God,
apples.
I've never heard that one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, we've got some pictures on our website of where we put out baited areas up. And, I mean, they've taken and crunched the sardine cans into a little bundle. They've ate the sardines out of it, and they've crunched up to a little bundle. Peanut butter jar thing, we've even got fingerprints of the fingers in the peanut butter. We've got a casting of that. And we also have pictures of it. Where we've taken the cam has taken the picture, and the hand in the peanut butter jar, so to speak. So, I mean, there's a lot of neat things these creatures can do. And then the following day, the lady that we were visiting in her property, we found the peanut butter jar in an area, and it had pooped in the peanut butter jar. So, I mean, it's a neat thing.
Didn't like it.
No, right. And we smeared it on a tree and a couple other areas, and it licked it clean, completely off. It's amazing. I don't know. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing with us tonight. And we wish you the very best in your research.
Things are changing right now. As you know, Colorado has been burning to the ground this past
year. Yeah, I know.
So, luckily, the clan that I've been working with is in a safe area. They're not near the fires. But a lot of what you've been seeing on the news in the Colorado Springs area and those areas are known areas. There's a number of groups that I work with out here in conjunction with here in Colorado, like Sasquatch Investigations of the Rockies and
mm-hmm.
a couple other groups. And those areas have been known for years as really big hot spots
yeah.
for activity, so I'm a little concerned about what's going on up there. But I think
they
usually go terrestrial and go underground, it's my belief, or they move to the high country, so I don't think they're in any real danger.
Right. Well, I'm sure they're aware. I mean, they've survived centuries and centuries of and they're not only in the North America. I mean, these things are worldwide. They're all over the place. I mean, there's different areas. Almost every country you go to, they have some form of this creature in it. And it's amazing. Like I said, of all the states, the only state that I haven't had a sighting in is Hawaii.
You know, that's interesting because I've been getting some emails from a guy in England who swears he has one in a state park in the UK, but
yeah,
we'll see, I guess.
Well, in Australia, they call it a Yowie, right? And we've been connected with some people, a couple of research organizations in Australia. Of course, it's difficult because of the timing, as you know. But
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but they've had their thing, and the creatures are more aggressive there, and they're not quite as big, but they're meaner than heck, and they got a lot of sightings, so it's amazing.
Haven't had any aggressive behavior displayed at me so far, and
the only time that we've even have a record of it, and what we think it is juvenile, the male juveniles can be aggressive or have, you know, that's what we think because of the couple of incidences that we recorded from other people that had their encounters based on an attack versus, having them around them. We know that they throw rocks all the time and other things. I mean, this has happened so many times just to warn you to, keep away. And not to come,
I was a little bit concerned about that, and some other fellow researchers were concerned that I was pushing the issue. But sometimes, I wasn't out to prove anything to the world. I don't really care.
No.
I mean, it was all about proving it to myself.
Sure.
So I knew I had to challenge their comfort zone a little bit. And,
sure.
They never threw rocks at me or anything. I think that I've been dealing with a couple of young males anyways, and they,
mm-hmm.
I guess maybe they respected the fact that I kind of pushed the issue. But, I'm not at all intimidated or I'm not worried for my safety.
No, I mean, of course, it is a scary incident when if you don't know and it happens, but you know, for a lot of people, but you know that if they wanted to, they could do pretty much anything they wanted to.
Oh yes, I've done plenty of research on the. Oh, who was that? Tim Baker.
Yeah.
Kumbo Baker.
Yeah.
He was telling a story a couple weeks ago. I heard him on an interview. Was telling a story that he had in southern Colorado here of a hunter that took a shot at one, and he was with a hunting guide, and the hunting guide took off running
because
they saw this thing going up the hill. The guy that was with him took a shot at it, and supposedly it went down. And another one popped up, I guess a male, and charged at the hunter and basically murdered the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And the hunting guide came back with the sheriff, the local sheriff, and they they picked the pieces of the guy up and basically wrote it off as that he was attacked by a bear because they didn't get that in the paper. But, you know, that's one of those things is that's – I don't – when I do my research, I don't carry a gun out there.
They don't necessarily carry a gun for the creature. I think there's some people who carry a gun because if there's mountain lions and things like that, you need to.
Well, yeah, and in the area that I do work in is very prevalent with cats. And so, you know, I do kind of take some chances. But, you know, again, it's knowing your comfort zone. I've been a mountain man, an outdoorsman half my whole life. So, you know, I'm pretty confident when I'm out there.
I just want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing, and I appreciate it. And I hope we can. I'll give you a call back again sometime, or you can give me a call anytime. And we'd love to have you on the show to tell us any of the other things that's just going on or some as they happen. We'd be more than happy to do that. A lot of the people out there they don't realize that. This takes place all the time, and it's kind of our way of making sure that everybody understands these creatures do exist. And we do appreciate you coming on the show to share.
The Southwest is hopping right now with activity with Arizona, Colorado, Utah. I mean, we're getting sightings all over this part of the country right now, reports and so forth.
Yeah. So am I. I get about 4 or 5 calls a week here now, and it's amazing. Well, thank you, Mark, for coming on.
Sure.
And if you want, you can listen to the rest of the show. We got 2 more guests left here to go through, and they both have encounter experiences that they're working on.
Well, thanks for having me on, William.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay.
Take care. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Mark. I'd like to go now to Brenda in Four Corners, New Mexico. Brenda, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Super. I know I caught you at a busy time, and I really appreciate you coming on. What happened was about a couple of weeks ago, you both Dave and you came on, and you talked about some areas that you're researching. Can you tell us how that's going on?
We're still investigating that incident there about the horse, you know, fainting and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to really quite go into details with that right now.
Oh, you don't have to.
I'm still looking into that one as well. And checking on the families and stuff, you know, out there, here and there. And hearing a lot of reports.
And, a lot of activity going on, right?
Oh, yeah. It's just all over. Just like,
man, it's amazing.
Like I was saying, out there in Colorado and here in New Mexico. And, you know, it's kind of funny sometimes or odd, you know, you wouldn't think it would be in some place you wouldn't think of, you know, like on the reservation. I mean, there's just like desert, nothing.
Right.
You know, what's it doing out there?
I know, it's amazing.
But,
it's amazing where these creatures can survive.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Especially in the heat.
Yeah.
That's what amazes me is the heat. They're learning to survive. They're finding their food. Water.
Well, you know, if you remember back, Marcus and his brother, when they had there, I mean, this is right in an area where there's houses and everything else around there, and things were actually looked like they were camping out right there in the old gutted out trailers and stuff, right?
Oh yeah, yep.
It's amazing. So they're you know they're not they don't appear to be afraid of us.
Oh yeah, yeah. Some are different because they act you know different. Each one of them are different in their own ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the most recent activity happened over the weekend. Had a lady call me in telling me of an incident that happened Saturday morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, which is about the time these things start running around.
Right.
Sometimes they can be a little bit earlier, but, you know, pretty much docking the times of when these things start coming out, and it seems to be always around 3 o'clock, between 3 and 5 o'clock.
Yeah, our window times when we go out is always between 10 o'clock at night and 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's the windows,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, and anyway, this lady was talking to me and was telling me that last Saturday morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, the husband slept outside and he pitched his tent outside, just right outside the door there. And the lady slept in the living room, left the front door open, you know, they had a screen there. And she felt, you know, she was asleep on the couch because it was so hot in the house, the husband decided to sleep outside in the tent. Takes his two little dogs out there with him, and they're sleeping, you know, outside. And they they opened up the screen, you know, to let some air flow through. So they put a fan in front of the door, you know, to try to get, you know, some more breeze into the house. So the husband puts a big old rock in front of the door so in case the wind blows, you know, it doesn't blow the door open. Well, they all fell asleep, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, the dogs start going off. All over the neighborhood there, and they start barking. And so he sits up, and he's like, what in the world? And already his tent, his door tent, you know, it was already opened. You know, the screen was up. He sat up and looked at the front door, and there was Bigfoot.
Wow.
Looking in the house. he was looking through the screen door. And his wife has happened to be sleeping in there, right pretty close to the door, on the couch. And she didn't hear anything. You know, she was just out, I guess. And her husband's just watching this thing standing there, really looking in the house there and, you know, in that door. Dogs are going nuts. And like I said, they had put this big old rock in front of the door. Well, this thing picked the rock up and shoved it to the side. And why he didn't open the door, he could have, but he didn't. And them dogs just went off, and that's what I think kind of spooked it, because more dogs, you know, just went crazy. Well, this thing turns around, and he walks off. And I was talking to the husband, I said, how big do you think this thing was? Because wow, because I've never seen anything that big. I said, what color do you think it was? Because it was black. Black, and there was a footprint there that was by the door, and it was probably measured about 14 inches long, and the stride was about 4 feet apart. So
wow.
This thing took off around the house, and it looked like it must have dropped down on all fours and ran back towards the trees, back into the trees there behind their house. Well, that had happened on Saturday morning. And 2 days went by. I got another call from the family again. That day I went out there to go see the area and check it out, and there's good evidence that it was there again that day, Saturday morning. You know, look at the footprints. Tuesday morning, they call me. Yesterday morning, the lady got off work, texted me about 6 o'clock in the morning, like, hey, this thing was back. And she said that she left her son at home by himself as she went to work, and she took her husband with him to work. Well, about 3 o'clock in the morning, again, same time, he hears the dogs going off, and this time they locked up the house and stuff. And it's a young gentleman, home alone. He's probably in his 20s, maybe, approximately. But he hears the dogs going off. And then pretty soon, he the dogs just got seemed to get more aggressive each time with their bark. It was just changing the tone each time. Well, pretty soon the thing was standing at the door and was trying to pull the door open. Like I said, they have a screen door, so when you hear that jerk, you can really hear the rattling of the screen door. And the young gentleman was kind of starting to freak out, like, oh my God, this thing's trying to get in the house, what is it? Pretty soon the dogs go off, and then this thing stops jerking the door and hits the side of the house. And he walks around the house, and in front of his window, walks by his window, the window's open. Now, this young gentleman put a recorder in front of his window and just let it record. I got to listen to this recording, and there's a lot of movement. Also, you could also hear some growling going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you hear the neighbors next door. Their dogs are going crazy at the same time, too. Then pretty soon you hear this thing whistle, and then it stops. And then from a distance, you can hear another whistle. It stops again. This thing starts growling, and you can hear movement. And this thing sounds like starts walking back toward the south of the house. Each time, you can hear a whistle far, distance, way into the trees there, like they were communicating back and forth.
Wow.
So the neighbors that night, they also heard the same thing. And they're all, they're really scared. At first, I was like, oh, it's funny they have Bigfoot coming around, but now it's totally changed. And it's scary. It'll scare anybody.
Wow.
First time, you say, I won't be afraid of it. No, I don't think so. Not until you see it with your own eyes.
Right.
And if you're really that close, it changes. It changes a person.
He sure does.
And then I went over there yesterday afternoon, and my daughter and I, we walked around the place. They told me, and I got to listen to the recording. I will hope to have it up by tomorrow afternoon. If you want to hear it, it'll be on my Facebook.
Sure.
If you guys want to listen to it, you guys can
look
me up. I'm on there.
Sure.
Hopefully I can get it put up by tomorrow afternoon, along with some pictures. Now, yesterday
Neat.
When we went over there late in the afternoon yesterday to check out the area, after listening to the recordings and stuff, we went outside to see if we could find prints. Well, we found a footprint that, like I said, measured about 14 inches long, 4 feet apart. Pretty big, pretty wide footprint. It was heading back towards the back into the trees there. And before we headed back there, we were standing right behind the house, and just a nice little breeze just hits our face, comes our way. I looked at my daughter, and I said, did you smell that?
Hmm.
She goes, yeah. And I said, he's standing out there watching us. So me and I told the lady there and her son, I said, we're going back there, and we're going to go run and check. So my daughter and I, we took off back there, and we, hurry and walk back there to see if we could see him. Well, when we got back in there and we, hurried back in there because we knew it was back there, and all of a sudden when we got closer to a thick area and we got in there, all of a sudden you could hear twigs breaking. It was walking back to the west. I'm like, okay, and then pretty soon we got real quiet and it was whistling. I let out a whistle. It stopped. And then you could hear twigs breaking, and it was walking towards back to the west into the trees. It stopped again, got real quiet, and then it whistled again. Like, wow. We walked away, pretty far in an area inside these thick brushes, and you could just see a nice trail where all the weeds were just nicely matted down, a nice trail to where he was coming in and out.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
We hung around there for a little while yesterday afternoon. Now, last night, I took three other people with me. The family was pretty shook up with what was going on, and, they're pretty scared now, and, warned the neighbors, and the neighbors told this lady there, next door that they did hear all of that stuff also yesterday morning. And then they also, one of the other neighbors, I believe on the south or on the west side of their house, you know, she went over there to go, hey, are you guys having some things going on? You know, this is what's going on. You guys need to be careful. And she goes, yes, I did. She goes, as a matter of fact, I was working in the field, in her garden there. And she's just like, got this eerie feeling something was watching her. She happens to look up, and there were two young individuals, very young Sasquatch, at the end of her field, just standing there watching her work.
Wow.
That really spooked her, and she went back into the house right away.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. I said, I talked to them, to this family, and I'm supposed to head back out there to, you know, feed them more information and just tell them to basically be careful because, you know, like I've been saying, we don't know what these things are capable of doing.
Right.
Yeah, they may seem friendly and happy and all, but people just don't understand. There's a little more to it than it just being trying to be friendly.
Well, you got to be careful.
I tell the people that you have to be careful either way.
Yep. You have to be careful no matter what. Yeah. You always have to take the side of safety. And,
definitely.
And you don't know how they're going to interpret your actions.
No.
You know, they may we don't know how they communicate, so they may interpret our actions as a hostile action and get aggressive. We don't know.
Yeah.
Well,
we went back there last night. I shot back out there to the summit to three individuals with me, Leona Vinton and John Lee. I said, we need to go back out there and we need to go check this family. We left the house, you know, got out there about 1 o'clock in the morning. On our way, just before we get to this people's house, I had to cross a ditch and there's a little bridge. As soon as I passed, I saw this little black figure sitting right at the edge of the road. I mean, I could open my door. There it is.
Huh.
I slammed on the brakes and I backed up. I'm like, what is that? You know, and I'm like, oh, it's just a dog. And I no, it wasn't a dog. This time I stopped, this thing just sat really still. And it stood up. Now I'm about 5'3", and this thing stood up to just above my knees.
Mm-hmm.
And it stood up, and it walked around the weeds there, and it grabbed the flashlight, and it was just sitting back there in the back. Most dogs, if it was a dog, I didn't see a tail on this thing.
Right.
It stood up on two legs, and it walked slowly back to the back. I shined a light on it, and it just sat there real still. When we put a brighter light on it, it shot out back into the weeds, and it took off. And I was like, holy cow, that was a little one. And if I would have just, you know, opened my door, and I could reach it, that's how close it was.
Wow.
So we got there, we got to the family's place, and we parked down into the trees there. Probably about 20 minutes after just sitting there, we started hearing some growling. And we stayed in this area for until about 3:30 this morning. And then we heard a lot of some growling and then some whistling. And then we heard also a young one. It sounded like a young one yelling or like screeching or something, and it happened to be right in the area where we saw it sitting in the weeds. I was like, well, that actually just snagged. But there's a lot of activity going on in this one particular area, and a lot of the families there are getting pretty spooked about it. So I just been telling them something.
Are you going to come back now?
Kind of
if you're going to go, you're going to be investigating this past next week here or so, right?
Oh, yeah,
and if you get a chance to do that, you're going to come on next week and let us know what happened?
Sure, I will see. I'm sure I can do that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'd love it. I mean, Brenda, you always keep us up to date with what's going on here, you and Dave both. And we love it. I mean, it's really neat, and we appreciate it. I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing with us again. I know you've had a busy day, and you've taken a lot of time out to do that. I got one more guest left. If you want to listen, he's going to be talking about. He's from Arkansas, and he's going to be talking about his what he's been doing here the last the last couple of months since he's had his first encounter. So thank you, and I'm going to mute you out, but you can hang on and listen if you'd like.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Thank you for coming, Brenda. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was Brenda from Four Corners. Our next guest, our last guest, is going to be Chris from Alabama.
Yeah.
Chris, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, Chris, now you were on here about, well, I say about a month ago, and you had your first experience, and we sent somebody down there to look at things with you, and you guys went through, and you found a lot of tree formations and other things in your area. And then since then, you've had some things going on as well. Can you tell us what how it's going?
Man, it's definitely going. I was kind of nervous that I was going to be one of them situations where they were going to come and they were just going to be there for a little while and they were going to go.
Yeah.
But it is definitely pretty clear, especially since Mr. Jim Dawson came down. I want to say thank you again, Mr. Dawson, for coming down on Labor Day weekend and missing all the fun that he could have had up there where he lives real nice on the river, and he came down here into miserable South Arkansas with me and spending out there in the heat with the mosquitoes. But, we've had many vocalizations recorded since then. We have, I have seen the creature twice since then, and It always seems, because when I'm out in the woods, you can go to my YouTube page, everybody, and look at it. My YouTube page is 4, like the number 4. You don't have to spell it out. THEPOUND. And just look for Bigfoot Evidence. I label all my all the videos Bigfoot Evidence and then something after it. But I believe wholeheartedly after what he taught me, after what he taught me and showed me in the woods. And then the things that I would have never thought about walking out there and just looking myself. I mean, there was trees that, I mean, they looked like they were growing the way they were, and they were not even in the ground. They were just placed up beside another tree. They just looked like they were touching up at the top, but they were really just, they were placed there by something. You can pretty much tell on all the videos that I take where something grabbed it, that broke it. Like it definitely looks like something with some force, like ripped the bark off right there. We found a pond. I don't know if it's like a spring, like formed from a spring or what, but it's really out in the middle of nowhere. Like there's no creek that goes to it really. It's just like all by itself, and it's not very large at all. And around this pond, we found a bunch of freshwater clams, like mussels. They were busted open, and the creature had ate the clams, and I got one of those myself, and using a big hunting knife, it was pretty difficult to get that thing to open up, one of the nicer size clams. We also found several terrapin turtle shells that were, like, crushed. They were, there was hardly nothing left of the turtle shells. There was one turtle in the group still alive in the area where we found the ones that were dead, and I don't know if he just kind of got away and hid and was real quiet, and they didn't see him, but he had a really, really, a really nice gash took out of his shell. And I kept him and named him Headhunter. I saved him from the Sasquatch. I hear people say that their creature are not aggressive. I don't want to say mine is aggressive. It's never came and attacked me, but I know for a fact that at least the one that I saw the first night and the ones that I'm pretty sure is giving those nice vocalizations that we're getting, I'm pretty sure he would stand his ground. So,
Oh, they'll stand their ground. Well, when we say they're not aggressive, we mean that they're not going out looking for trouble.
Well, I mean, I don't really know how I feel about that either, because my dog tried to, the first time we had to, remember I told you my dog tried to get at him. He didn't cur down. He tried to go in the woods after him. And remember it was two nights later that he hit the screen door again acting the same way, and it had to have been up in the yard, because remember we found the X in the yard where the sticks was placed. So, I mean, it has been up really, really close to that house. And we don't live there no more, but I've still I made arrangements and did the right things necessary to be able to still go back out there and look. You know, I'm not telling the people that I'm looking for Bigfoot, because then they think I was crazy. You had to come up with another legitimate, you know, excuse for why you would need to be out in the woods. I actually used the ex-military thing. I was like, you know, getting ready to train for this road march that I got to do for the IRR, and I just want to be able to walk down the pipeline. And
sure.
I got the okay. So, I mean, it's not I'm not trying to be out there real late for too long. And if I do go out there late, and that's normally when I get the vocalizations is late. And we still get whistlebacks. They still whistle back to us. The other night I had a guy, I also perform music. I'm like an artist or whatever. And we have a buddy named, his stage name is Swift. This guy's like, he's like 6'4", close to 300 pounds. And he went out there. He was like, "Can I take my pistol with me?" And I was like, "Yeah, man. I would want you to feel comfortable. It's dark out here. We ain't really gonna see very well. There's other animals here in South Arkansas that could hurt you too. You might need a firearm for it, you know." And sure. I don't go out there with nothing like a hunting rifle. The only thing I go out there with is a little like a pistol grip pump shotgun. And it's really only for protection. I'm not planning on. I would like to have the evidence and proof, but at the same time, I've seen the beautiful things these things do in the wild, and it's to see the tree arches a tree that would be 50 foot tall that's bent all the way over, and the tip of it is stuck at least 2.5 feet in the ground. I mean, that's really pretty impressive, and that shows intelligence.
Yeah.
That it's not
yeah,
a dumb
absolutely.
Animal.
That's why I say we don't know that they're not human or close to human, and it's, without knowing that, it makes it very difficult to harm.
And but I do agree, though, with, like, the Texas Bigfoot Research Group and Tom, when if one was taken in either alive or dead, at least then it would be protected. Anywhere that creature was thought to live would be a posted land. You wouldn't be able to hunt there, log there. It would it'd be like a wildlife reserve. And
right.
And I'm all for that, especially because, I mean, I've seen the beauty of the thing, and I would like to know that when my child grows up, he can still go out to the woods in South Arkansas and possibly see one. And, like I said, we had seen the creature twice during the daytime. This is what was so cool about it. The first time we saw it after Mr. Jim left was we were moving out of the house. It was the last day we were at the house. And we were basically just celebrating the chance to be able to do what we had been doing. And, I mean, I'm 27. Like I said, I was ex-military, and I just – it's a thrill. Like, it felt great to be able to go out there and look at this stuff and be able to show people, like, in person, you know, the people that I trusted, you know, that were willing to go, that weren't, you know, going out and telling everybody. Because as far as where I'm from goes, it's a pretty small town, and people are talking about it, and they're talking about me with it, but – as far as, and I've been out there like every day, and I've never bumped into nobody. Like, I've never seen nobody coming out or trying to go in. Like, so the location of where this is still held pretty good by the people that just went out there with me. They haven't let it out. And the main reason I ask them not to is because, number one, if you tell somebody and they go out there acting foolish, that is a big creature. The first one I saw, the heel to toe measurement was 18.5 inches. It wasn't in the mud. It was on dry ground that hadn't rained in probably a month and a half, and it impacted the ground. I know the guy said that it sounded like an elephant walking. I didn't get to hear, like, the walking footsteps, but it definitely sounded like somebody let a bull loose in the woods when it started running. It snapped trees over that was probably about as big around as my wrist. I'd say probably about 3.5 inches in diameter. It ran through South Arkansas green vines. I don't know what the scientific name for them are, but I know a full-grown man that weighs probably about 250 pounds running full speed as fast as he could, like fullback status, could not run through one of those vines, and it ripped through like 10 or 12. And
wow.
I have videos of that. Mr. Dawson got to see that when he was here as well. The print was still here when he got here, so he got to see it in person. He could see where the toes went down himself. I've got the YouTube page, and I have a lot of videos.
Good.
I have
all your videos you sent. And,
right, I've got a few more.
Three formations and other things, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a few more since then. I was waiting on, you said the server went down for the link to put it on the website, so I was just going to wait so I didn't overbarge you with videos. But I do have some more for you in the vocalization. I'll send that to you tonight. And for everybody else, you can go to YouTube and hear it. It's the newest vocalization on there. There's two of them on there. The first one, I had a guy tell me it was a barred owl, and I kind of, like, laughed when I read it because, I mean, I lived here I was born and raised in Arkansas. I know what a hoot owl sounds like.
Right.
And, they're pretty normal. They normally speak to the same sound. But when I'm the one outside going woo, woo, and then I hear a woo woo right back. I mean, that's not an owl. I've had owls like I've tricked people to make people think that I was talking to the owl, but I mean, this thing was actually like conversating with me. It would try to vibrate its throat and have a reverb to it. And on the video, you can't tell that. In person, though, you could tell it. It makes
no. I understand. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah.
But the newest vocalization, something went bad out there. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he had to defend his territory, or if another one was hurt or something like that, but he was not happy. And he went off for probably, I say, close to 5 or 6 minutes. And
wow.
I was actually driving down the road with the radio playing just a little bit, talking to my buddy Billy, who's been with me from the jump. And he was with me when we had our first experience. And
yeah.
We heard it over the radio with the windows down, you know, doing 45. So the wind was blowing pretty good. And I was like, man, what is that? I turned the radio off, and I pulled over, and I shut the car off. He looked at me. He was like, oh, my God. So I just brought the iPhone out and hit video and hit record. So you can't really see anything on the video because I'm just sitting on the side of the road, and it's pitch black dark, just letting you hear it. I crank the car back up, and I get a little closer to the direction that I think it's coming from, and I stop, pull over again so you could hear it better. It's pretty impressive. It really, really is. And when I try to vocalize back to it, I only do it once. Because I was sitting in somebody else's driveway, so I didn't want to call too much attention. But
right.
I only did it once, and right after I do it, you can tell he didn't like that either. Like, he was not in the mood to play with me that night. And that same night, we went out to the pipeline where everything had been happening so far, and we got out of the Tahoe, and we went in, and it whistled at us first this time. And this was a first. And most of the time, we had to whistle several times before we'd get a whistle back. And this time, it whistled at us first. And we hadn't even been more than about 10 feet onto the pipeline. Me and Billy looked at each other like, oh, my gosh. After we heard what we had just heard, and then it whistled at us first, we started to feel a little bit uncomfortable. So we decided that maybe tonight we'd have to just let it chill. Maybe we've been out there too much. Let's just go back to the house. but I was like, but go ahead and whistle back, because I can't whistle. I just can't. I said, go ahead and whistle back. You know, so it knows, you know, we're not mad or, you know, it knows, you know, that we're still the same people that we've been being coming out here. And we
right.
gave it peanut butter and apples, and the game camera that I have sucks, and I haven't even put it back out because I was so disappointed with it. It just hurt my feelings. So what I actually have been doing, I only did it for 2 days now. So I'm kind of interested to see. I haven't really had time to, like, look at it and just really just sit down and stare at it. But I've been putting, like, high-definition recorders out in the woods and just letting them record till the battery goes dead. And I've been coming back to the house and just watching them to see when I went out there, if anything followed me out or if anything poked its head around a tree to look at me. We had today, we went out there. I'm sorry. Let me finish the story. But, yeah, he whistled back. When Billy whistled back, once again, Bill, I was pretty afraid. It was kind of like the first experience. I would honestly say that I was pretty afraid. Billy thought I was going to get in his lap. Like, that's how afraid I got for a little second, because I was standing on the closest side end of the pipeline, and it literally took out running again. And this time you could just hear footsteps. It didn't sound like it was breaking anything. So I thought it was on the pipeline with us. And where we were at, we weren't really wanting to shine our flashlights right then at that moment, because we were right by the road and other houses could see us. And it's not, like I said, we had permission to get out there, but at the same time, I didn't want to disturb the neighbors, because if they started complaining about us, then maybe they complained to the right person and they'd shut us back down. So
sure.
I'm trying to stay respectful to everybody. And I couldn't have hit my flashlight then if I wanted to. I froze again. Like, it's one of the things, like, after that first night, that first experience, the just hearing how it went through the woods like it did, and the force it would have took, the amount of strength it would have took, and then to know that it can stick the tip of trees in the ground, the amount of, I tried to do it with little sticks that I sharpened with a knife. I can't even get it more than about 3 inches in the ground.
Wow.
And it put it in there about a foot and a half. So I know it's got to be strong. The encounter that we had today, we went out there, and we, like I said, we just started putting them cameras out there. We put it out by the pond. We didn't put any food out there this time because we know it had been eating turtles and it had been eating the clams, so we were just going to try our luck. We put the camera up the pond, and we were going to go back out there and get the camera this morning.
Oh.
And when we went out there, I was driving down the road right before I got to the pipeline. I looked into my rearview mirror to see if anybody was behind me so I could pull over to where our little cutoff on the side of the road where we've been pulling off. And I looked in my mirror to the driver's side mirror, and it looked like what I assume was the creature. Very much looks like a creature. This is the only time I ever saw facial features. It was like a reddish brown hair color, just like the hair color that me and Billy saw that we thought saw moving through the wood line very fast on the day
right.
that we moved out of the trailer. And I just stopped and I just kept looking in the mirror, and then it went back into the bushes. Like, and then I was like, oh my God. I was like, either I have been out here too long and I'm seeing stuff, or Bigfoot is right there, like right
mm-hmm.
there. And Billy was like, what'd you see? And I was like, man, I kind of laughed. I was like, man, it's right over here, Billy. Like right over here. I backed up about 6 feet. That's about all was away from it, back from it. Like I said, the sun hadn't really came up good, but I saw that. And when
mm-hmm.
we get there to the thing, there's like a tall man trail on the side of the road that I haven't even paid attention to because it's on the opposite side of the road where we've been having all the activity. and I was like, oh my gosh. All right. So now I know I might need to spread my horizon out a little bit. And me and Billy got out with flashlights and we looked, and like I said, the woods being as thick as they are, you couldn't really see that well. But we could still see the color because the sun was coming up and our spotlights had improved, I mean, greatly since we had the first experience. We've got two 800,000-watt Candlebright Q-beams that stay charged for a little while. So, I mean, it they're pretty nasty. They light up the whole pipeline. But we weren't using those on the side of the road. But we definitely saw something laying on the ground. This thing wouldn't have been no bigger than me, though. It had probably been about 6 foot tall. So that
uh-huh.
goes hand-to-hand with these smaller footprints that I have been recording and put on YouTube and that I've also been seeing impressions and leaves and stuff like that.
You'd be a juvenile, right?
Right. And me and Billy was like, look, man, because it was like kind of like moving backwards away from us real slow, but you couldn't really hear no leaf movements. You could tell that whatever we were looking at was going away from us very slow. And we were like, man, that's so weird. We don't hear it because we didn't hear nothing. And about that time, though, we did hear something. A tree broke over on us. It was like a big crash, and it wasn't from the woods behind us. So once again, my hair stood up. I turned around to look, hoping that I didn't see, you know, one standing right there in front of me. So I turned around, and we walked to the wood line to check it out, and we both saw what we thought was like something hunched over, or like turned away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looked out of place to the background. It almost looked like a really, 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 really big stump, but there was no big, big, big trees like that down around there. And we were like looking at it, and I was like, man, you think this? And he was like, man, I don't know. And so we already were both on the same level. We both looking at the same thing. And we heard the juvenile take off. It didn't run very fast, but it was moving quickly. And we were like, oh, we both kind of turned around, and there was a car coming at the time, so we just kind of like got our backs up against the trees. Because, like I said, we both carry weapons in the woods, but that's only because I don't know what this thing thinks of me. I don't know if he thinks I'm out there threatening it. I don't walk around with my gun in my hand. Like, I try to keep it as down as possible.
Sure.
Well, he doesn't feel threatened, but I don't know. I can't be sure, and like everybody's told me, nobody knows enough about these things to really be able to say what it will and won't do. So I know it was brave enough to come up in my front yard where my dog was, and 120-pound people, most animals won't do that. And we turned around to look again where the running came from to see if we might could see something run through the bushes. And when we turned back in to look, that so-called stump that we've been looking for was gone.
Wow.
And it would probably been about 40 yards from us. This looked a little darker brown than the reddish brown that we had seen earlier. Now, the reddish brown stuff
well, we're
earlier.
Well, we're getting kind of late into the show, but what we'd like to do is keep in touch with me in the next couple of weeks, and we'll have you back on again, too, to keep every once in a while here to keep us up to date with what's going on in your area there. Does that sound okay, Chris?
I mean, that sounds perfectly fine because I go out every night, so the amount of stuff I could tell you, I really tried to cut it short. I had way more I could have went into. But
oh, no, no, I understand. We just, just the show has only had so many minutes in it. But what we can do is we'll have you on again probably next week or the week after when you go back and you have some more stuff. I'll keep in contact with you through the week like we have been.
We'll get you back on again.
We'll keep you on periodically to keep, just like we do for Dave Ortiz and for Brenda and those, and we'll keep things going on. How's that?
Did you get a chance to put that picture that I thought I had of the creature on the pipeline? Did I send you the enhanced photo that I did myself with the Photoshop?
Yeah. I didn't put it up because I can't edit anything now, but I have it.
Right, right.
I have looked at all your pictures and all your videos and some pretty neat stuff, yeah.
I don't have a video of my pictures yet. Like, the videos don't show that, so I'm going to try to do, like, the little video editing thing on Windows and try to put the pictures on there so they can put that on YouTube as well. I'm planning on putting some more stuff up on YouTube tonight, and everybody, that's the number 4. Like, just push the number 4 on the numpad, and then THEPOUND in the search tab on YouTube, and look for Bigfoot Evidence. All of them that have anything to do with Bigfoot, it'll say Bigfoot Evidence 4. I want to say it's like 15 of them.
Okay. Super. Well, I want to thank you for coming on, Chris, and sharing with us. And you've got a lot of things going on there. And I want you to keep in touch with us next week. And we'll get this webpage thing squared away, and we'll get your stuff on there, okay?
All right, man. I appreciate it, Bill.
Thanks for coming on, Chris. Take care now.
All right, bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was Chris from Arkansas. And as our last little going away here, Steve, our gentle giant. Steve, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm pretty good, Bill. You know me. Always trying to keep cool. I'm going to move away from the river here because it is too freaking hot. I'd be better off out in the middle of the desert instead of next to this dumb river. It's so humid here, it's not funny. But when you're out in the middle of the desert, it's not humid at all.
Well, gosh. Well, I just wanted to say hi to you because it's been a long time. Say hi to everybody.
And
you know something?
I would like to get with Brenda and actually go up there near the Four Corners in the next couple months and actually sleep outside and have one of these things walk up on me. I'm not afraid of these creatures. Never have been.
Well,
I would really love that.
You want me to have Brenda give you a call?
It would have to be sometime next week.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Have her go to my Facebook, go in as a friend or whatever like that, because I'll be moving sometime this week.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get you connected.
All right. Thanks, Bill. I'd really appreciate that. I know you got to get out of here because the show went way over schedule.
Well, I was going to run it for an hour and a half tonight because of the number of guests I had, but
all right,
and the number of stuff I had. But thanks for coming on, Steve. And
right.
I'll keep
and Chuck Creel, do the bacon soda and the colloidal silver thing. It'll work. Trust me.
Okay, I'll let him know that.
All right, I'll catch you later, Marco.
Take care, my friend. We'll see you later. Bye bye.
All right, bye bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, here we are at the end of another show. And we're going to see everybody next week. I just want everybody to understand that get out there and keep Bigfooting and let us know what's going on. Keep in touch. We'll see you next week.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they die. And
answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they have to unlock the door. Monster Mason Mystery.